this is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Deadlines, tensions remain high between the U.S. and Russia over an American spy drone crash over the Black Sea. The U.S. says it has evidence Russia caused the crash. Iran, Russia, and China hold the second day of their joint military drills in the Sea of Oman. And also, New Zealand joins other Western countries to put a ban on China's popular social media app, TikTok. Hello and welcome everybody here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News. Our top story for this half hour, the Pentagon has released a video it says provides evidence that a Russian fighter jet caused a U.S. spy drone to crash into the Black Sea this week. The Pentagon says the video shows that the Russian fighter jet clipped the propeller of the American MQ-9 Reaper drone, causing its crash near Ukraine. The video was filmed by the drone, which the U.S. says was on a regular reconnaissance mission in international airspace. Russia denies that and sees the incident as a provocation. Moscow says the aircraft went down after making, quote, sharp maneuvers. It is warned of a proportionate response in case of future provocations. That's why the U.S. says it will continue to fly and operate wherever international law allows. The incident was the first direct encounter between the two powers since the Ukraine war began in February last year.
Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to unprecedented levels after Washington accused Moscow of colliding with one of its Reaper surveillance drones, forcing it to crash into the Black Sea waters off Crimea. Russia denied it deliberately brought the unmanned aerial vehicle down. Moscow says the drone went down after stalling and never came into contact with another aircraft. Russia says the UAV was flying towards the Russian border without an active transponder in clear violation of the restricted area established for the conduct of the special military operation. Two interceptors were dispatched to investigate. As a result of sharp maneuvers, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. That's what the Russian Defense Ministry stated. But the U.S. has rejected Russia's explanation, accusing Russian jets of an unsafe and unprofessional intercept of the drone. U.S. military officials claimed their spy drone was operating in international airspace when a pair of Su-27 jets appeared, sprayed it with fuel, and struck the propeller of the UAV, which caused it to crash into the sea. The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has already reached out to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, to discuss the incidents. The last time Shoigu and Austin spoke was in October 2022. The latest incident has further strained the already tense relations between the two nations.
I just got off the phone with my Russian counterpart, Minister Shoigu. As I've said repeatedly, it's important that great powers be models of transparency and communication. And the United States will continue to fly and to operate wherever international law allows. And it is incumbent upon Russia to operate its military aircraft in a safe and professional manner.
Russia says its relations with the U.S. have reached a lamentable state. Hawkish U.S. politicians are now demanding action against Russia over the incident. Washington has said U.S. aircraft will fly wherever international law allows, warning Russia to operate with caution.
Kremlin said on Wednesday that relations with the U.S. were in a lamentable state and at their lowest level. Calls are already growing loud in the U.S. to retaliate against Russia. Hawkish Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested opening fire on Russian fighter jets that intercept U.S. drones. Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the senator's call to shoot down Russian aircraft went far beyond common sense and risked all-out war between the world's largest nuclear powers. Since Russia started the military operation in eastern Ukraine, contact between American and Russian military leaders has been limited. Meanwhile, Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has said that the drone crash represents a moment of great tension in relations between Moscow and Washington. He also urged the West and Russia to exercise caution so that they could avoid a direct clash. The crisis comes as the war is still raging on in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Russian forces must be stopped in Bakhmut and other towns in the east. Russia has said the capturing of Bakhmut opens a path to taking control of the entire Donetsk region, one of its central war aims.
Wagner PMC units have practically surrounded Bakhmut. Only one road is left open to Ukrainian forces. The pincers are getting tighter. If earlier the professional Ukrainian army fought with us, today we see more and more old people and children.
Russian forces and fighters from Wagner Group have captured Bakhmut's east, but have apparently failed to encircle the city. NATO also warned last week that Bakhmut could fall within a matter of days.
Well, Iran, China, and Russia are holding a joint naval drill in the northern part of the Sea of Oman. The drill is dubbed Security Bond 2023. Our correspondent, Mahdi Abbasian, is joining us now from Konarak in southern Iran to give us more details on the trilateral drills. Mahdi, what details and updates do you have to share with us?
Well, today the first phase of the operational, actually, phase of the drill was conducted in the waters of the northern part of the Sea of Oman. Seven vessels from the Iranian Navy as well as IRGC plus two other vessels from Russia and one from China left the dock in the early hours of the morning, went to the sea to start this drill. Now, there were some main tasks that happened in this exercise. One of them was shooting or firing at targets, surface targets and aerial targets in day and night. And there were other things that have happened today. We have prepared a report from the location of the drill that we're going to watch now. For tomorrow, the operational phase will continue tomorrow, and the Iranian, Russian and Chinese naval forces will once again move to the location of the drill to conduct different sorts of exercises, including rescuing hostages to counter piracy or terrorism, and saving people from a vessel in distress. These are some of the main activities that are going to happen tomorrow. Plus, the naval forces of the three countries will have a march tomorrow, which will be the ending and the closing of this year's maritime exercise, trilateral maritime exercise. By the way, I have to mention that this year's maritime exercise had two observer states that participated, their delegates participated in this year's drills. They were Pakistan and Kazakhstan. They participated without any vessels from their countries. Just they sent their naval commanders to this drill in Konarak, the location of the drill, so that they can use the experiences that are shared here between Iranian, Chinese, and Russian naval forces. Back to you.
Mahdi Abbasian joining us from Konarak. Elsewhere, Iran has slammed Germany for making false claims on its nuclear program, a day after the German chancellor said the Islamic Republic should be prevented from obtaining nukes. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said Olaf Scholz's comment echoes Israel's claims. Kanani said it's surprising that Germany tries to portray Iran's peaceful nuclear program as a threat while Tehran's activities have been under tight inspections of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Kanani criticized Berlin for remaining silent on Israel's massive nuclear arsenal, which he said poses a threat to global peace. His spokesman underlined that independent nations are frustrated with such double standard approaches. He said those nations are becoming more and more certain that some Western countries' accusations against Iran are hypocritical and false. Palestinians across the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds are mourning the victims of the recent Israeli raid on Jenin. They've also staged a general strike. Businesses, schools, and universities are closed as part of the one-day action. Public transport workers have also joined the move. The strike was announced after four Palestinians were killed during an Israeli raid on Thursday. The Israelis have increased their violence against Palestinians in recent months, with raids and attacks taking place on a daily basis. The latest deaths bring to 86 the number of Palestinians killed across the West Bank this year alone. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, 17 of those were children. Saad Nimr is a professor of political science at Bir Zeit University in Ramallah. He says the violence by the Israeli forces and settlers against Palestinians is part of the regime's broader ethnic cleansing plans.
In reality, we know that this regime, the colonialist regime, is continuing with its plans. And we've said that many times. There is a plan by this government and even previous governments to evacuate the West Bank and to get the Palestinian ethnically cleansed from the West Bank. So the attacks of the settlers, which go on a daily basis, and every day there is an attack for the settlers in some of the villages, whether it's in Hebron or in the north in Salfit or in Nablus or in anywhere else. And the Israeli army also trying, as they said, try to prepare the ground before Ramadan and try to end some of the Palestinian resistance groups here and there, which is not going to work for them, because the Palestinian, the more you have Israeli atrocities against the Palestinians, the more of the resistance we can see. The whole thing started in Jenin, then it moved to Nablus, Arin al-Usud, and then it moved to Balat, the refugee camp, and then lately in Tulkarem and also in Jericho. So the phenomena is growing rather than decreasing. And if the Israeli think that with violence and more violence could end the resistance, they are absolutely mistaken.
Every year in March since 2005, pro-Palestinian activists directed by the BDS movement hold activities and events against the Israeli apartheid policies. Our correspondent Ola Alassi reports from Gaza.
The Israel Apartheid Week has started in Gaza and in many cities around the world. This is aimed at mobilizing grassroots support for the BDS campaign to isolate apartheid Israel in the global community, replicating the resistance movement against the South African apartheid.
The killing machine of apartheid Israel.
The week started with a message of solidarity to the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip from Mandela Mandela, the grandson of the South African leader Nelson Mandela.
We feel your pain and suffering and stand in solidarity with you in the struggle against the injustice and brutality imposed by the apartheid Israeli regime. We salute our heroes and martyrs of Gaza and the ordinary men and women, youth and children, who daily face the brutal killing machine of apartheid Israel. You are not alone.
As part of its events, the BDS chose to screen a movie about horror experienced by a Palestinian young girl during the Nakba. The ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by Zionists in 1948.
Well, I think the way Israel reacted to Farha is very typical of Zionist propaganda. They wanted to suppress the Palestinian voice. They didn't want us to tell our own narrative. And I think the best way of confronting this campaign of hate and racism is by producing more cultural products.
Palestinian institutions play an important role in informing people of the history of Palestine through different mediums in order to build a generation that is capable of reclaiming its rights.
I think that the new generation is passionate about learning the truth and the history of the struggle, because during their entire life they have experienced both physical and structural violence perpetrated by the Israeli occupation. They want to know why they suffer, are not allowed to travel, and live in poverty. All this leads them to question the roots of all the problems.
The BDS movement has stressed the need to press ahead with the campaigns against the Israeli apartheid, especially because the regime has intensified its persecution to maintain a system of settler colonial oppression and domination over the Palestinian lives and land.
Recently, we witnessed a growing solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially when the new far-right fascist cabinet took office and Israeli massacre increased in the West Bank. We aspire to reach the international community, not only in the civil global community, to boycott, divest from and sanction Israel.
In Israel Apartheid Week, Palestinians reaffirmed their commitment to resisting occupation, exploitation, oppression and apartheid like any other people, by all means permitted under the international law and the UN General Assembly resolution, which includes armed struggle. Ulal Asi, Gaza.
New Zealand says it will ban China's popular social media app TikTok from lawmakers' devices, becoming the latest Western nation to put the restriction. Parliament officials say TikTok will be banned on all devices with access to the parliamentary network. They say the decision follows talks with colleagues across government and internationally as well. The restriction will begin at the end of this month. The US, Canada, Britain, and the European Union have already banned the video sharing app from devices operated by government staff. They've all cited security concerns that the app can share user information with the Chinese government. TikTok has rejected that, saying it has spent billions of dollars on data security. Beijing also says the bans are politically motivated, with the West trying to hinder China's development. Well, the Federal Reserve has lent U.S. banks nearly $12 billion as part of efforts to ease stress on the financial system following the collapse of two major banks. The Fed says a new one-year lending program aims to help banks meet the needs of all of their depositors. It unveiled the scheme alongside the Treasury and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation at the weekend. That followed the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank due to liquidity issues. U.S. authorities have spoken of what they called a serious risk of contagion that could affect other banks and are now trying to prevent that. The collapse of the two major banks sent shockwaves across the world on Thursday. A Switzerland-based global investment firm announced that it would borrow over $50 billion from the Swiss Central Bank to reinforce itself. Moving on, three hospital workers in the U.S. state of Virginia have been charged with second-degree murder over the death of an African-American man earlier in March. Those charged were staff members of a state mental hospital in Petersburg. They were arrested on Thursday and are being held without bail over the case of Irvo Otieno. The 28-year-old black man died at the health center after he was transferred from a local jail because of his mental condition. A preliminary report by medical examiner shows that he died of asphyxiation. In addition to the three hospital employees, seven sheriff's deputies were also charged with second-degree murder. The police officers have been accused of suffocating Otieno during the transfer. A video captured by the hospital surveillance cameras was shown to the victim's family on Thursday. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to our latest episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you know, after completing explanation of Surah Munafiqun, we have taken explanation of the next surah, that is Surah Taqabun, which is number 64 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran. Revealed in Medina, it has 18 ayahs and takes its name from the word Yawmut Taqabun in ayah 9, which means the day of mutual loss and gain, and refers to the day of resurrection and judgment as the day of dispossession, since on that day everyone will try to save oneself and put the blame on others. For those who abandon faith and choose to disbelieve, they shall lose paradise and be thrown into hellfire, cheated forever from felicity by their own souls and their leaders. Those who believe shall gain paradise against all the attempts of the unbelievers to distract them in the world from faith and goodness, because of their guidance by God and his messengers to steer away from hellfire. The surah opens with a description of God's majesty, power, wisdom, and knowledge. It reminds the disbelievers of the miserable end of those who disbelieved before them and decisively refutes their denial of the resurrection. The surah urges the believers to be wary but forgiving of the enemies they may have within their own families, and inspires them to remain steadfast and to spend in God's cause. We have already explained ayahs 1 to 6 of this surah in our last episode, and today we present you explanation of ayahs 7 to 12. So let us start with ayahs 7 and 8, which read,
زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير فآمنوا بالله ورسوله والنور الذي أنزلنا والله بما تعملون خبير.
The faithless claim that they will not be resurrected. Say, yes, by my Lord, you will surely be resurrected. Then you will be informed of what you did, and that is easy for Allah. So have faith in Allah and His Prophet and the light which we have sent down. And Allah is well aware of what you do. If you might recall, in the previous episode of this program, last month, we said the Almighty Creator has power over all and everything, and has granted human beings
the freedom to differentiate between right and wrong, which means the consequences of their words and actions rest upon them. We also said that the creation of the universe is not haphazard and unplanned, but rather in accordance with specific aim. This means the Almighty Creator is aware of our secret deeds and hidden intentions and motives, and it is only the proper cognizance of God that inspires us to do good deeds and prevents us from committing sins. The ayahs that we recited to you now mean to say that the faithless deny the resurrection and are thus totally unprepared for the final judgment. God commands the prophet to inform them of the certainty of the day of resurrection on which all the people will be raised to life to see the report card of their deeds, on the basis of which they will either be rewarded or punished. As Ayah 8 informs us, we should have firm faith in our loving Creator and obey whatever has been commanded by the Prophet, who is accompanied by the celestial light for our clear guidance. These ayahs teach us that, number one, it is lack of faith which makes people deny eventuality of the day of resurrection and thus bring eternal damnation upon themselves. Number two, every minute deed of ours is recorded by the angels for presentation on the day of resurrection to determine reward or punishment. Number three, it is all within the infinite power of the Almighty Creator to raise the dead back to life, even if they had become rotten bones and dust. And number four, the ayahs of the Quran are light to enable us to come out of darkness and proceed towards the ultimate truth. Now let us listen to ayahs 9 and 10 of Surah Taqabun.
يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْجَمْعِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذلك الفوز العظيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار خالدين فيها وبئس المصير.
The day when he will gather you for the day of gathering, that will be a day of disposition for the disbelievers. And whoever has faith in Allah and acts righteously shall be absolved of misdeeds and admitted into gardens with streams running in them to remain therein forever. That is the great success. But as for those who are faithless and deny our signs, they shall be the inmates of the fire to remain in it forever. And it is an evil destination. These ayahs refer to another feature of the Day of Resurrection, which is actually the name of this surah. It means taqabun, or disposition of the disbelievers when they are raised to life and regret the loss they have incurred upon themselves because of their wicked ways during worldly life. The virtuous who are rewarded with gardens where streams of fresh water flow will also regret of not having done more good deeds while alive in order to achieve higher rewards when they see the unimaginable bounties of the hereafter. Ayah 10 warns the faithless of the punishment for their disbelief and death in the state of sins and agnosticism, saying that they will be cast into the fires of hell, which is indeed an evil destination. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, while alive, we should make the best of the opportunity which God has granted us by doing good deeds and abstaining from evil, so as to avoid the great regret of dispossession on the day of judgment. Number two, Allah, the Most Merciful, not only rewards the true believers for their virtuous deeds, but also absolves them of the misdeeds they might have committed and sought forgiveness. Number three, since the entry into paradise requires purity and cleansing from the filth of sins, in some cases, the erring believers might have to pass temporarily through hell. And number four, everyone is in pursuit of success and happiness, but true success and happiness will be gained only through faith in God and doing of righteous deeds. In conclusion of today's episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, here are ayahs 11 and 12 of Surah Taghabun.
ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول فإن توليتم فإنما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين.
No affliction visits anyone except by Allah's leave. Whoever has faith in Allah, He guides his or her heart, and Allah has knowledge of all things. So, obey Allah and His Prophet. But if you turn away, then our Prophet's duty is only to communicate in clear terms. Disasters and problems are part of the worldly life of all human beings, whether believers or disbelievers. This means the faithful ought to be patient in the face of trials and tribulations, since nothing happens except by the will of God, and those with firm faith will surely be guided by the all-merciful Creator, who has knowledge of all and everything. Among the signs of the true believers is their obedience to Almighty Allah through observance of whatever the Prophet has taught and preached. The duty of the prophets is only to convey the message of God to mankind and explain it through clear proofs, rather than forcing people to become Muslims. From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, faith in God helps us to be firm and steadfast in the face of hardships and calamities, rather than becoming impatient and losing hope in divine mercy. Number two, lofty concepts like patience, trust, satisfaction, and submission to God are factors that guide believers and make them overcome disasters. And number three, prophets have the duty of proclaiming Allah's message in clear terms. They do not impose faith on the people, since God has granted free will to the human race with warnings to discern good from evil, on the basis of which will be the final reward and punishment.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the Quran to learn from it and use those learnings in our life. To help us with that, we have Brother Habib. Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Thank you very much for coming to this show.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we're on chapter 2. We've already talked about the background and the reason of revelation of this chapter. We've talked about the first verse. Let's listen to verses 2 onwards and be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Yahdi ila ar-rushd fa'amanna bihi wa lan nushrika bi rabbina ahada.
It guides to the right course, and we have believed in it, and we will never associate with our Lord anyone.
وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدَا.
And it teaches that exalted is the nobleness of our Lord. He has not taken a wife or a son.
وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا.
And that our foolish one has been saying about Allah an excessive transgression.
You're back on IRIB English Radio. You just heard verses 2 onwards from chapter 72 of the Quran, and we're going to be discussing these verses with Brother Habib. So Brother Habib, on verse 2 it says, well, let's read it from verse 1. Say, it has been revealed to me that a team of the jinn listened to the Quran, and they said, indeed we heard a wonderful Quran, which guides to rectitude. Hence, we have believed in it, and we will never ascribe any partner to our Lord. The first thing that we understand is that the jinn, we're talking about their entity, their essence as well, they also have understanding, They also have free will, apparently. They also have duties.
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created ins, humans, and jinn, other than to worship. So at the end of the day, they also have, yes, the word is taklif, or they are obliged. They have obligations. They have their own rules. And that is why there are some sayings that the people, there were people, Abu Hamza al-Thumali, he was at Imam Baqir's place, right? And he wants to go inside, so he was taking permission to enter the house, and people were there. So he stayed outside waiting for them to exit. When they exited, Abu Hamza al-Thumali went in, right? And he asked them, he said, all right, during this time, Bani Umayyah, and they're killing anyone that's a Shia, and this much people of your Shia coming over to your place? He said, don't worry, they're not from the ins. These are قوم من يا أبا حمزة هؤلاء وفد شيعتنا من الجن.
A group of the Shia
jinn, right? جاءوا يسألوننا عن معالم دينهم. They came to ask us about the religion. About the religion. And of course, this is available in Basar al-Darajat, volume 3, page 97. Of course, volume 3 is the different
publications.
All of them I don't like. There has to be a lot of works on the manuscripts. Anyway, and we also say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam بعثوا إلى الثقلين. بعثوا إلى الثقلين من عبادك. What is the meaning of ثقلين من عبادك? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only for the ins, but as well for the jinn. So we forget sometimes that the jinn are also obliged. They are also living their lives. They are also going to be on the Day of Judgment asked, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Did you do your obligations? Did you not do your obligations? And whatnot.
And, all right, let's take a break now and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on verse 2 of chapter 72. I'm just looking at verses 1 and 2. So they've heard the Quran, and then they've immediately believed in it. They've said it's wonderful, it guides to rectitude. There's no talk of research and questions. Like, they've immediately accepted it. How is their belief established so quickly?
We kind of answered it on the previous episode, and we're going to be talking more about it, inshallah ta'ala, when we say... When we talk about وَأَنَّ لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُبُهَا Verse 8, inshallah ta'ala. When we reach over there, we'll talk more about it. Again, in brief, I'll answer that they knew some of the knowledges that came, that were divine, let's call them. The divine knowledges. Because they would go into the heavens, they would hear the angels, they would hide behind rocks or in the heavens and whatnot. So to hear and listen to some of the knowledges that you know are given or taking are taken, so they know what this is coming from the same pond.
So they had access to divine news. They knew.
Yes, they had. We'll talk more about it, inshallah, in the verse
8. The jinn apparently have a very interesting life, much more interesting than ours.
Yes, it is. At the end of the day, you know, sometimes you come to think about it, like how are the angels are living? And for example, just one saying to bring it more clear to you. When we pass away, there's a saying available, I forgot where it's precisely, but I'm pretty sure it's available. Mizan al-Hikmah, Ray Shahri, he collected it, it's available there. Arwah al-Mu'mineen, the souls and spirits of the believers, sit together and talk. They sit together and talk. Where? In heavens, in the skies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is describable, but not for people who haven't seen it. At the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a person that has not seen it. Whatever the Imam alayhi salam give me from knowledge, I come and say it. And there's a saying from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that states, you want to know the true meaning of a majnoon, a crazy person?
Insane person.
The insane person is that whenever you ask him a question, he always gives an answer. Yeah, so I'm going to do with the saying. I'm going to say that I don't know how it is. But at the end of the day, there is, you know, more to this life that we are feeling right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there is more to this than this material life. Eating and intercourse and, of course, coyus, right? Sleeping and, you know, working and going to job and listening to Brother Habib on the radio and whatnot. At the end of the day, there's something more deeper. There's more to it. And you can only catch, like, how do I say, small fish from it, from the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And the explanations only come from Ali Muhammad. Anyone else is a liar.
Okay.
I'm going to give it right out.
Let's move on to the next verse. Exalted be the majesty of our Lord. He has taken neither any spouse nor son. This is one of many verses where the Quran criticizes the idea that God has sons or daughters. There's a lot of emphasis on this, apparently.
That's nice that you pointed it out. Before that, the end of verse 2, وَلَن نُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا, which is the translation, and we will never associate with our Lord anyone. It looks like there was, as we will see also in the coming verses as well, that there was a belief among the jinn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was using, you know,
magic.
Not magic. He needed associates. He needed partners. He needed someone to help him. He's not all powerful. He's not all strong. At the end of the day, knowledge differs. Iblis's knowledge was much more stronger than the rest of the angels.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Iblis, inshallah ta'ala. And they had some, you know, incorrect beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
They had some incorrect beliefs. And therefore, these who heard the Quran, they went back, they said, we're not going to associate with our Lord anymore. We have understood the truth. We have reached the reality. We now know what is right and what is wrong.
But I mean, I've heard that the jinn have very long lives. Maybe had they seen Abraham or some or other prophets before Prophet
there
Muhammad?
There are some stories about the jinn who wanted to battle with Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were with some prophets, some of them were not. At the end of the day, I haven't spoken to any jinn before. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't spoken to any jinn before.
Not even on the internet?
Not even on the internet.
All right. The next verse reads, indeed the foolish ones among us used to utter atrocious lies.
Before moving on, the meaning of the verse, when Ta'ala jaddu rabbuna ma attakhadha sahibatan wala walada, what is the meaning of it? Go ahead and ask me. What are you saying here?
I read the meaning.
No, let me just emphasize it. Can you read the meaning that is translated in front of you?
Oh, okay. Is there any other translation to this verse?
What is the translation that you have?
Exalted be the majesty of our Lord. He has taken neither any spouse nor son.
I think that's the best interpretation to it. And that exalted is the nobleness of our Lord. He has not taken a wife or a son. There are a couple of, you know, I think more tafsir available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were available during the time of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And they state that the meaning of it is Ta'ala jaddu rabbina. Yeah, it means that the ancestors of our Lord, may they be noble.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much associating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Children.
And that is why, for example, Sheikh al-Tusi in al-Tahdhib has this saying. It's also available in Tafsir al-Qummi. We have our problems with Tafsir al-Qummi. But anyways, it's available that that this is something that voids the prayers when you say during prayer time. It's something that the jinn said incorrectly, and the Quran just mentions it in the Quran. Mm-hmm. It's not praising their statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not raising their statement. It's rather saying, it's just, you know, telling them what happened. They were wrong about it.
It's just narrating
the
story.
And but we also have this in Nahj al-Balagha. In Nahj al-Balagha, it's available. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam uses the word jadd,
mm-hmm.
as in the holiness of the or the nobleness, the majestiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is available in Nahj al-Balagha. So at the end of the day, the sayings that are available, either we chain or because it's available in Tafsir al-Qummi, and Tafsir al-Qummi has its problems. At the end of the day, the meaning looks like it's praising the words of the jinn. And the words of the jinn pretty much means that we have believed that he exalted be the grand the majesty of our Lord, has not taken any wife nor child as the pagans say.
All right, thank you very much. Let's take a late break and we'll be back immediately for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. Let's move on to verse 4 of chapter 72. It reads, "Indeed, the foolish ones among us used to utter atrocious lies concerning Allah."
Here, of course, it's stating that Safihuna.
Mm-hmm. The foolish ones.
The foolish one from not the foolish ones. Safihuna. It's
the foolish signal. One.
Yeah.
Oh, singular. It's referring to
a precise one, yeah, a particular one. Mm-hmm. And most of the Fassirin go that it means Iblis.
Satan.
Satan of the day was from a jinn. It was not an angel. He was from the jinn that was with the angels. And his story is very long.
Yeah.
In summary, the jinn used to live here on earth before Adam was created. And they used to do a lot of sins and committed a lot of sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of put punishment upon them, but he did not put punishment upon Iblis or Satan because he was a worshipper and had high knowledge and whatnot. So he raised them to the heavens. Iblis was the teacher of the angels. He was the teacher of angels. At the end of the day, his pride, his arrogance took over. He did not do prostration to Adam. He was kicked out of heaven.
Mm-hmm. He refused God's order. So
he was kicked
expelled.
Out of you. Of course, when we say heaven, you mean heavens, not heaven. Heaven as in paradise, mm-hmm. The one that no one exits when they enter, or the reward for humankind or mankind when they do good deeds. Mm-hmm. But rather, it was in the skies, and it's a long topic. When we reach Surah Al-Baqarah with our great 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 grandchildren, inshallah, ta'ala, we'll talk about it.
Inshallah.
So Iblis is considered from the jinn. He's their big one. He's their chief. He's their head. But still yet, even though he's their head and big one, he's
the foolish
one. He
has an arrogance inside.
His arrogance caused him to be considered safih, jahil. Jahil not as in no knowledge, but rather jahil as in foolish. Because in the Arabic language, the wording of jahil is foolishness.
But by the time that we're listening to this story, it's been maybe thousands of years since Satan was expelled. Didn't the jinn know already that this is a guy who's been expelled from heaven?
No.
They did not know.
No.
So they still consider. So they were fooled by Satan.
Now you're gonna see. You're gonna see when we say.
So Satan isn't just misguiding humans. He's also misguiding. He's a very busy man. This guy.
Yes. You say, how they say like we have the saying in English, the expression like work like the devil.
Oh yeah. Well, now I understand.
Yeah. Now you understand it.
He has two very different beings, two different dimensions.
He's very motivated. Look at it. Why are you doing this, Satan? Because his envy towards Bani Adam.
Yeah.
He envies Adam. He envies the sons of Adam. And because of his envy, he's willing to be very busy and doing whatever he can to try to make the sons of Adam and the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go astray.
Misguided.
To be misguided and to not reach the mercy. If I can't reach mercy, no one else is going to reach that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I think that nobody deserves a TED talk more than Satan right now.
La ilaha illallah. La'anahu Allah wa akhzahu wa ab'aduhu anna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him away from us, inshallah ta'ala.
All right, thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always wonderful talking to you. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. Remember that we're reading the Quran to learn from it, to practice in our lives, and to study the Quran, not just to read through it. If you missed this episode, don't worry, you can always download an archive of this episode and all the previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa.
and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.